a new shop came to Cookstown, and I understood that the people that owned it were Christians. So I went in to have a chat with the person who ran it. And I thought I'd tell him two of these stories, and I'll probably tell you some of them. But I told him two of these stories to encourage him. And when I had finished the second story, he said to me, "Do you know something? There's something the Lord hates more than anything else." And I said, "What's that, sir?" He says, "It's pride." I says, "You're right, sir. He hates pride." And then the penny dropped. He thought of the stories that I had told him, and I thought, golly, he thought I told him because of pride. So I said, "Sir, there's a little portion of scripture. I must tell you it. It's dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." And that's what I answer. Nothing. Nobody. So in case I say that we own the public house, and a picture house, I don't want anybody to go home and say, "Goodness, that fella blew all night about what he owned and what he didn't own." Because dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Well, I was born into divided families. My mother's side of that family walked with God at household salvation. My father's walked with the world. And I've no doubt you would know exactly what side of that family I walked with. It was easier to walk with the world. Mommy came from Stewartstown, and she had a voice that you should raise the dead, as the band said. And my father came from the south of Ireland, and he had a soft southern brogue. So Daddy actually was saved before they got married, because my mother was a boss. He would never have married her. Mommy would never have married my father unless he was saved. Well, I was born into a public house. We owned a pub. We owned a picture house. We owned a little shop. And I used to go with a little girl called Anne, and our father and mother went to Africa. And when they were going away, they had a sort of a goodbye, farewell, sort of like a little concert for them. And at that, there was four Roman Catholic fellas playing in the band. And they asked me to sing a couple of pieces, and after she went away, then the boys said to me, "Would you come with us to join us?" Well, I had to do it secretly, because my mother would have went stone mad if she had known that I was singing in the show band. So we went down to the south of Ireland one night, and I said, "Boys, whenever I cross this border, my name's not Ivan anymore. Call me Mickey, call me anything you like, but don't call me Ivan." We arrived at this place, and I said, "Boys, I'm going to go mad tonight. Altogether, I'm really going to enjoy myself." So this fella, he was Eamon, and he says, Eamon said, "I'll take the amplifier, give you a hand in with the amplifier because it's heavy." And he left with his bass guitar. And he was a good while before he came back. I didn't realize he was speaking to the owner of the place. So I got fed up waiting, and I said, "I'll take the amplifier myself." And headed in, when I approached the door opened. Before me was the lady who owned the place. And she says, "Hello, how are you doing?" I said, "Not so bad." She said, "How's Joy?" I said, "Joy who?" "Your sister." "My sister?" And this is in the south of Ireland. I said, "How did you know my sister?" She says, "I lived in Castlecoffey for 8 months. "What?" Well, I said, "Is anybody from Castlecoffey in here at the minute?" He says, "Well, not just at the minute." So, to make a long story short, friend, your sins will find you out. Now, I was just going to tell you some of the stories. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke in parables. And parables is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the story that I'm going to tell you now, or the stories that I'm going to tell you now, are earthly stories. but they're different. We have a church, for example, in Gardenstown, in the north of Scotland. And Louise and I decided we'd go for a bit of a holiday, just round Scotland. And we came up to a place, about 3 mile farmhouse, 3 miles south of Gardenstown, a bed and breakfast. And we decided we'd stay there. And at 8:30 on a Saturday night, Louise turned to me and she said, "You know, I'd like to see Gardenstown." Well, I said, "That's all right." Drove into the middle of it, stopped, and parked, we're just talking, and then she turned to me and she said, "God has laid upon my heart, I have to play the organ in this church tomorrow." I said, "That's all right, please. We'll see the minister in the morning." "We'll see him now." That was the sort of her. I said, "I haven't a clue where he lives. And I don't know where the church is. Find out." So this man was walking down the footpath. I said to him, "Excuse me, sir, but would you know where the Reverend Hughes lives?" He says, "You mean Pastor Hughes. If you want to call him Pastor Hughes, that's good enough for me." He says, "Down that hill, turn left, up the next hill, second bungalow on the right." Stopped outside the house, knocked the door, and he says, "Come on in, glad to see you." He knew us. We knew him, but we hadn't a clue where he lived, nor hadn't a clue where the church was. And we weren't in that house 10 minutes till he said these words: "My organist is away on a holiday in America. My assistant organist is away on a holiday in Canada. I have nobody for tomorrow." And Louise says, "I know that. God told me. Give me your music book. I'll play it for you." Friends, that's the power of God. If you're not saved here tonight, and I mean this, there'll be a place called hell that'll be waiting for you. Please come to Christ. As I was a little boy, down, my mother would always make sure that I went down to her home. And that she would always make sure that her sister was told to bring me to a wee mission. Now, I hadn't a clue what a mission was, or a meeting. But I was running about the farmhouse in the farmyard. I went into a hay shed and I saw this old Morrissey. And there were springs sticking out of the seats. There were holes in the floor. I said, "My goodness, how does this thing go?" And when Auntie Greta said to me, "Well, you wouldn't come to a wee meeting on Friday night with me." I said, "You go in the car?" She says, "Yes, I'll go." So anyway, Friday night came, all dressed up, jumped into this car, headed down onto the main road. And my uncle didn't start driving until he was 70. Before that, there was a horse and cart. And his uncle, he had a chemist shop in Port of Ogie. He changed his car and he gave him this Morrissey. And Uncle Willie, of course, with the horse and cart, was down this hill and there was two shucks, if you can. I'm sure you know what shucks means in here. And of course, the horse and cart, the horse knew where the shucks were. But when he got into the car, he thought the car should have known where the shucks were. And he was pulling the steering wheel one way, and my aunt was pulling the steering wheel the other way. And I tell you something, I was laughing my head off at the back of this car. I had to keep my hands over my mouth. Eventually, they arrived at that little hut. And he just abandoned the car in the middle of the road. I went in, and I was still laughing, but I had to hold my hands over so they wouldn't hear me. But a young fellow got up and he preached. And he preached about hell. And I want to tell you, friend, whenever I was going home, there was no laughing. It scared me stiff. But what I'd like to ask the question is, in this day and age, where did that hell go to that scared the life out of me that night? You see, friend, it's just over your shoulder. For it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The are two doors. Jesus Christ said, I am the door to heaven. But he also said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Which door will face you at the end of your life? There was a man that used to come to our house pretty often. He actually travelled for White's, the Speedy Cook, and White's Farm Meals. And I got to know him through the shop. And this day I met him down in our church. I couldn't believe it. So we got friendly, and then he retired. He started to just help this man to sell flowers. And Oma, if you're ever in Oma on a Monday, call in. There's a flower place there in the market yard. And say if you'd gone to him when you were in Oma on a Monday and you wanted a pink rose and he hadn't got it, he would have said, listen, call back next Monday and I'll have it for you. Because the same man he worked for or helped in Oma on the Monday was in Cookstown on a Saturday. Many times he came into our house on a Saturday. Would have passed through and out to the back, and sometimes he'd planted little plants and Louis trees for us. But when it came to the harvest, Louise invited them to her harvest Thanksgiving service. And he was sitting just at the front, this time he was sitting in the living room, and before him there was a picture. Just above the fireplace. And all that man would do was stare at that picture. And Louise came in, that time she could walk. She came in and she said, Leslie, I have a cup of tea here for you. He said, is that the village of Alphenham? In the south of England. And of course, he said to me, get up and look. So I got up and I looked. I says, I can see nothing on it. Just take it down. It might be in the back of it. Take it down. It's been there 4 years. Spiders the size of octopuses in the back. But anyway, I left it down. The spiders must have known they weren't there. But at the back, bottom of that picture was the village of Alphenham. And I said, Leslie, how did you know that picture? He said, and many houses are on that picture. I said, there's one, two, three. He said, look again. There's a wee one, there's a wee one, and there's a big one in the middle. And he says, do you see the big one in the middle? You see the back-to-back chimneys? He said, the bottom one was my house. But my brother took it from me. You see, I came from the south of England. I worked there. And my father, I decided to join the army. My father said that when he died, he was leaving me that house. But my father died, and my brother encouraged my mother to give it to him. He went to our church. And it was the Reverend Baxter, and always says, it's the big one, not the wee one. The Reverend Baxter got up and he says, because of all the singing and all the testimonies, he says, I have one time to read the Bible. Just one verse of scripture. Will someone go speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me? And after the meeting was over, I went down to him. I said, Leslie, God's speaking to you. He says, I know that. And 2 days later, he could see it.
Just want to show you this picture. This is it. It was bought in the Lake District in Ambleside. The reason I bought it was because my mother was born at that house. Two wee houses and the one in the middle, the back-to-back chimney. The bottom one belonged to that man. His wife pleaded with him to come to Christ. sister-in-law pleaded with him to come to Christ. But God spoke to him through a picture. I wonder what it would take for him to speak to you, friend. This is real, you know. Oh, yes, the world doesn't believe it. We're living in an awful time. But heaven and hell will never change. Remember that. It is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, judgment. That was his house. And it was hanging above our mantelpiece. And God spoke to him. He could see it 2 days later.
Well, there's that many stories I could tell you, honestly. I could be here all night. And yet, no, I'm shaking. But Gardenstown was the place with the organ. And we were going. We were down at the south of England. We've been all around, I don't know, 300,000 miles we didn't afford in a Toyota Carina diesel. Mostly around England, Wales, south of Ireland. We were down the south of England and St. Ives. And the weather, you couldn't have seen between here and that wall. It was serious. This mist coming in from the sea. And I went to the man and I said, listen, sir, I know we're only here, but I was a sub-postmaster. I said, to get someone to do my job is almost impossible. And I can't stay here for a week. We're leaving tomorrow. You charge me whatever you like. But we had rang people in the Lake District. And there they were placed that we had stayed in a few times, and they were free and could take us. So anyway, the next morning we left. But they were very kind. You see, that time they thought Louise had ME, but she had MS. But anyway, they'd made our sandwiches dairy-free. And we come up the motorway to go to the Lake District, and I wanted to stop at every service station for a cup of tea. But not at all. Drive on. But about the fourth service station on the M6, I started to laugh. And we said to me, what are you laughing at? He says, you see that fuel gauge? That hand's at the empty. We've got to go in here. So then we went. And I got her to just got to a wee table and went out. I said, I'll go out and get you your sandwiches that those people have made for you. And when I come in and set the sandwich before, she says, the Lord has laid upon my heart to give that girl this gospel tract and this £10 note. What? I'd only have to get in a sausage roll at 40 pounds. I just thought to myself, I could get some feed for that £10. But I says, where is this girl? There she is, there. About the fifth table down on the service station in England. Right, let's go. So we made our way down to that table. And all this girl had on this table was this book. And Louise said to her, do you read much? She says, not really. What sort of books would you read? And she flicked over the book of the hardback Bible. She says, the Lord has laid upon my heart to give you this £10. Sit you down here. I'm only saved 1 year. I come from London. And I need to talk to somebody. So we talked away to her, and then about 5-10 minutes later, Louise handed her the £10 note. The Lord has laid upon my heart to give you this £10 note. This girl was about 29, 30, and she started to cry. And she says, do you realize that I left London this morning to go to meet two friends here just in the southern part of Scotland? I took my father's car instead of my own. It's drinking petrol. and I forgot my money. I'm in here praying for help. Now we'll jump to another place on the road into Blackpool. And there was a place that I knew in the post office I had envelopes with this address on it for it was government stuff and bonds. And I said, I'd like to see that place. So we drove the next day into it and parked the car down the back of just the only sort of department store was in it. Came walking up past the wee golf course, and there was just two men playing in the golf, at golf. They were just playing between each other, just throwing a white ball anywhere and then throwing the black ball to see who could get closest to it. But we came on ahead up to the main street and sat on a summer seat. The street was about the same. If you know Cookstown, same breadth of street as Cookstown, but only half the length. And as we sat there, I was looking down the street and saw this man coming with a bicycle. And I said to Louise, listen, do you see that fellow there? He's coming. This street's broad. He's got the bicycle in the inside instead of the bicycle on the outside. And the lorries were passing him about that there. He says he's going to get knocked down. So I kept watching him. And then when he came pretty close, then I started to turn my head the other way. And before I knew it, the bicycle was, the front wheel was hitting the summer seat where I was sitting. And I looked over at him and says, how you doing? And Louise says to me, give him a gospel track. So I said, how you doing? So do you ever see one of those before? He put one hand in the handlebars, the other hand in the other handlebar. He started to read. And after he had finished the back page, he took it, folded it nice and neatly, and he put it in his pocket. And he said to me, God makes no mistake. My wife is messing about with Jehovah's Witnesses at the minute. This track is exactly what she needs. So he lifted the bike down and headed off. And I said, Louise, you know it's cold here. We'll go back down into that wee place, the Bowling Green. And we sat there in the summer seat in the Bowling Green watching just these two men playing. There was one of them had a bit of a hump in his shoulder, as it were, and he could hit that black ball. He was just leaving the black ball beside the little white ball. And I was just watching him just about to fire this ball again when I heard Louise said, hello. And I looked up, there's a lady coming walking down the path. And she said to me, give her a gospel tract. I tell you, I spent half my time giving those gospel tracts. But anyway, I pulled this gospel tract. I said, did you ever see one of those there? She says, I know all about that. See that church down there? I'm a member of that church. I'm a member of the choir, you know. I even cleaned the church. And I even helped the minister's wife to cook. And Louise says, that's very good. But it's not of works, lest any man should boast. She says, what do you mean by that? And I said, Louise, it's not what you did. It's what he did for you on the cross. And with tears flowing down her cheeks, she says, right then, what must I do to be saved? I'm talking about heathen England. We had the joy of leading that woman to the Lord. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. But Philip Lewis. Yes, that's what we wanted. I saw a DVD of Lewis Land of Revival. The Wind of the Spirit is the name of the DVD. And of course, whenever that was finished, Louise just turned to me and she says, get somebody for the post office. We're going. I said, that's okay. I got somebody to do the post office for me. And off we headed up the whole road right to Isle of Skye and Horace and then across to Lewis. And the next morning, when we got there, we were just parked overlooking a wee And I was thinking, well, Lord, did you come to this island? And coming up towards our left was a man, an old man, with a dog. I said, Louise, well, go out and talk to this man. But Louise was reading the Bible. I said, no, you read away, and I'll get out and have a chat with him. So as he approached the front of the car, I was stopping and said, sir, do you remember the revival here in the silent? He says, yes, I do. Can you tell me anything about it? Well, he said, one day my father and I went down to the rocks to fish. And suddenly the fishing rod fell out of my father's hand and he fell on his knees on the rocks and cried to God for mercy. And I said, and what about you, sir? What do you mean? He said, what did you do? He says, my wife's waiting on me. I've got to go. I remember saying this. You see, there's a man, when he was a little boy, he witnessed a miracle. And he's still on his way to hell. I told a cousin of mine who was a Baptist pastor, I told him that story. He says, goodness, the Holy Spirit spoke to the Father and bypassed the Son. Tell me, friend, has he bypassed you? You need to plead to God for mercy. Maybe I should try to sing a wee piece now. It's many years ago, my mother used to say, if you ever ask to do anything or speak or try to sing, she said, what you should do is there's always a back wall to the church or wherever you are. And she says, always find a black mark on that wall. And don't look at the faces of the people that sin. And I thought to myself, no, maybe I shouldn't do that, because if I explained that there, I might have a man coming up to me later. He says, I want to speak to you. I'm the caretaker of this church. Where is that black mark? But if you'd like to try and sing a little piece here called It Was Love.
Did Jesus give up heaven's glory for a world of sin and misery? Why did Jesus suffer in a garden, drain that bitter cup of Jesus stand in Pilate's judgment hall, where the cruel crown of thorns so patiently? Why did Jesus give his life to save me? It was God's wondrous love for me. Why does Jesus lift me when I stumble? Take my hand whenever I go. Trials of the day. Why
was love, God's wondrous love for me. On the 7th of March, 1984, I went to a little meeting. At the end of it, I was asked three times, "Have you come to Christ?" And I said, "No." And then Louise got up and she made her way into the back room of the little place at the back of the church. And I was left sitting alone. I remember Psalm 23. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Friend, you can't have a shadow without a light. And Jesus Christ is the light. Without him, you walk through that valley, friend, but he'll not be with you. I got up off that seat. I can't explain the strength it took to get out of that seat, to make my way into a little room at the back, get down on my knees, accepted the fact I was a sinner, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, be my Savior. I was born again. That church then, the minister was the Reverend Austin Allen. Sometimes later he was called to Tandragee. And he asked Louise and I to go to the church one night. He said, "Ask me to testify," and he asked me to sing. Then 3 months later, he asked us back again. I thought this time he'd asked Louise to testify. But he asked me to testify again to sing. And after that testimony was over, Mrs. Allen came up to me and says, "There's some difference between that testimony and the first." Do you remember Jesus passed by the Sea of Galilee? Do you remember he spoke to the men who were fishing? And he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let's take it slowly, friend. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That night, Louise and I followed Christ, and he made us fishers of men. I was in the house of Fraser one night, just not long ago. And this girl, I was looking at this soap, and this walked over to this other soap that was beside the one that I thought of buying. And she said to me, "You know," she said, "don't say I said it, but it's the same company that makes this soap that I sell. That soap you're looking at, it's half the price." Well, I says, "Dead on. That's great. I'll buy it if it's cheaper." And as she went to wrap it up, I said, "Listen, did you ever think of dying? I was born a Protestant. On the 7th of March, 1984, I became a Christian." And she looked at me as if with big eyes. I said, "What about you?" She says, "I'm a Catholic." I said, "Not make any difference. When you get up there, you mean to tell me there'd be a big door over here. And above that door, we say all Roman Catholics this way. A big door over here, and before that door, all Protestants this way. A big door over here, and it's all Muslims this way." Jesus said, "I am the door. There's one door." And he left heaven because he loved you. And he went to no rugged cross because he loved you. And he left heaven because he loved me. And he went to no rugged cross because he loved me. But on the 7th of March, 1984, I accepted the fact I was a sinner. Got down on my knees and asked him to be my Savior. I asked him into my heart. Christ in. Christ in. Christ in. Christian, 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 do you get it? And after I paid her for the soap, she turned to me and she said, "There's one thing you said I'll never forget.
And I said, what's that? The three doors. She discovered that night that Rome hadn't got a door into heaven. She discovered the Protestants having a door into heaven. She discovered the Muslims having a door into heaven. There's only one door. Have you found them, friend? Because without him, you'll never be in heaven. That's not that long ago. And one other day, I'll tell you, this is my last story. One day, I was in Portadown. I was going home. The thoughts came into my head of Bud and Louise, and I said, I wonder how she knew God spoke to her. I have to play the organ in this church. There was also a house in Cookstown we were to buy, and it'll take me time to tell you what God spoke to her. And as I was going home, I said, Lord, how did you speak to her? And as I was driving down the road, maybe you don't know the road from Portadown to Dungannon, but there's one last, as it were, roundabout. And a quarter of a mile from that roundabout, a little voice came into my head that said, go back to the Seagull Hotel and get something to eat there. See if you bother making it when you get home. So I swung the car right round the road, making a course. Sure, there was nothing coming. Landed at the Seagull Hotel. Went up the steps and through this sort of a revolving door. And went away to the back and hid myself in a corner. The girl came over and says, what can I get for you? I said, just something light. I'll leave it up to you. And as I sat waiting, I just happened to look over and there was two tables. One there, one here. Two chairs. And above this table here, there was a little string and a balloon. And on the balloon, it says, happy engagement. That's all that was there. And when my food arrived and I started to eat, the two young girls arrived. And they asked for service as well. This young girl here on the left-hand side was having sort of a special wee thing for this girl was the one that got engaged. So I paid no attention to them until they mentioned Reverend Austin Allen. Well, sure. Reverend Allen was special. So I decided right at this one. But I couldn't make them out. But I knew then, friend, it was this girl. That the voice said to me, go back to the Seagull Hotel. This was the one. But this is the one I spoke to. And I ignored this one, but I made sure she heard everything I said. Told her some of the stories about Louise. And told her, said, we'll do it now. And she says, I'm like that. And I thought, I'm sorry, you're dead right. Spoke away to her. Told him up near the end of life, friend, there's only one way. One way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. By this time, they had finished their meal. And I said, can I join you? Sat down and explained them the way of salvation. Before I did join them, I called the wee waiter over and I said, listen, give me the two bills. I'll pay for them as well. And I had the bill in my hand like that. And when I was going, I said, listen, girls, you'll find there's enough in that there to cover everything. And this girl here said to me, what's your name? I said, my name doesn't matter. Just call me a stranger. That's all. And I got up, went down, it was a long walk to the front, out through that revolving door, was about to put my foot on the first step when the door opened. It was the wee girl at the right. And she said, "I've never been this close to God in my life. I have just accepted him as my Savior. My mother and father will never believe it. The father pleaded with her to come to Christ. The mother pleaded with her, to come to Christ. But God spoke to her through a stranger. Am I speaking to you, friend? You will die someday. Don't forget, one door into heaven. His name is Christ." This little piece is simply entitled, "You Need a Friend Like Jesus."